Tinned food has been enjoying a recent rise in popularity following people stocking up during lockdown. For years, it's been despised by those who use freezers. You won't find many tins in their cupboards, maybe some Italian tomatoes, sardines, tuna, and that's about it. But when in 1812 the first tins in the world were manufactured in Bermondsey in South London, it was a very different story. Suddenly, the military could feed sailors and soldiers on tinned meat. Antarctic explorers could take tinned luxuries on their expeditions. And even Queen Charlotte enjoyed her taste of Mr. Donkin's tinned beef. As the letter of thanks from the palace said, the Queen, the Prince Regent, and several distinguished personages tasted your patent beef and highly approved. Brian Donkin was an engineer who got interested in the newly discovered science of preserving food in cans, patented in 1811. He opened his factory in 1813, and very soon tinned food was being stocked in that most glamorous of grocery stores, Fortnum and Mason. Fortnum and Mason gave customers instructions as to how to get into that tin. To open the canister, first stab a hole with the butt end of a knife near the upper rim. Then insert the blade as far as it will go. Draw the handle towards you, and the blade will be found to cut through the tin with perfect ease. What a thrill when, in 1858, 46 years after the launch of the tin, someone invented the tin opener. You could buy tinned salmon and tinned rich beef stew at Fortnum & Mason throughout the 19th century. I've not seen either of these on their shelves recently. And they had an expeditions department where explorers could stock up on essential supplies. In the 1820s, Sir William Parry sailed to the Arctic in search of the Northwest Passage with 100 kilos of Fortnum's tinned cocoa. Tins of sardines, sheep's tongues, pig's tongues, bacon, all found their way to the Arctic and the Antarctic. When Sir John Franklin set off for the Northwest Passage in 1845, it was with a large consignment of tinned food. On a previous Arctic expedition, Franklin and his men had run so short of food that they were forced to stew up their leather footwear, enabling newspapers to refer to him ever after as the man who ate his boots. In 1845, his expedition took plenty of tins, meat, vegetables for the crew, and some tinned lobster and ham for, one assumes, Franklin and his officers. When the expedition ended in disaster, one explanation suggested that it was the lead in the solder of the tins that had poisoned the men. But recent research suggests this was certainly not the main cause, if indeed it had any effect. However, it was not just the tin itself which could cause problems, as the Navy was to discover. The Navy's relationship with canning was not entirely successful. They ordered tins that could take 12 pounds of meat, and this could not be satisfactorily sterilised. At an inspection in Portsmouth, 19 cans were opened before one was found to be suitable for human consumption. The inspectors reported an appalling stench as the tins were opened, revealing contents of ligaments of throat, roots of tongue, a perfectly putrid kidney, pieces of heart and palate. Green-faced, the inspectors retreated. I should point out that this was not British meat. It came from a meat factory in what is now Romania. Brian Donkin's firm was eventually to become part of Cross and Blackwell, household name for tinned foods in the 20th century. And as for Mr. Donkin, there is a small plaque commemorating him on the wall of the site of his factory in Bermondsey, which is now a car park.